T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
End of the day, not totally shocked.
Did you see it coming at all?
I don't know if you saw it coming. You could tell that it was different than maybe some of the other rumors. And one of the things that Coach kind of alluded to made sense. I don't think it's so much football, if that makes sense. I think it's the culmination of everything that you had to do to get ready to play football. Does that make sense? I mean, you take into consideration what the last 2 years have entailed just to get ready to play the game. That's a lot. And then you look at how he is, he burns both ends of the candle. And what I mean by that, 2 o'clock is normal. And that's 2 a.m. for them to be able to get out of the building and, you know, be back there for 7 or 8 o'clock. I just feel like that it wears on you. And then you add on all the other stuff that you had to kind of deal with before you even worry about going and playing a game. You can see him kind of saying, hey, look, I need to step away. I need to take a break from this.
You think he'll come back to coaching eventually?
I do think so.
It's kind of hard, when you're worn out, it's like you can't see the forest for the trees, right? But after you get away, you get some perspective.
Well, I think that you get some perspective, and then, you know, you take into consideration him losing a couple friends that have been in the industry. And, you know, I don't want to say that weighed on him, but I'm sure that everything that's going on in the world kind of affected that as well. And so for him to say, look, I need to step away for my own sake, I think that's really where he's at. And, you know, I don't know how much you've talked about it, but a lot of people are saying, well, hey, look, he's just going to take a year off and he's going to go coach another team. The New Orleans Saints have Coach Payton's rights. I mean, it's bad to say it in that way, but his coaching rights for the next 3 years. Just because he takes a year off, they still have 3 years. It's not like it goes away because he's not coaching the team. And so, you know, the only way another team will be able to sign Coach Payton, whether it's after this year or 2 years or in 3 years, is if the New Orleans Saints allow a trade to happen. And I mean, that's something that Mickey Lou would have to negotiate. And so for people to think that he's just retiring for a season and going and coaching another team, one, he said that he doesn't plan on coaching this year, but if something like that does get thrown at him to trade, you know, to be able to be compensated via draft picks and or player and or cash. So that's something that is there.
Well, let's go down that road, Deuce, for a second. In terms of the Saints, Sean Payton's not going to coach the Saints. I would think you wouldn't want him in the division. You would prefer not to have him in the NFC, but if we go down that road, is Sean Payton worth whatever kind of compensation it would take to get him? And what kind of compensation would you be talking about there? Would you be talking about a couple of number ones, number twos as well? What do you think would be fair for him?
Well, it's not necessarily for him. I mean, I think it's what the organization wants.
Well, so that's what I mean, though. What would be compensation for the organization?
Well, I think when you look at it, Bruce Arians was the latest coach to be traded. He retired, went to television. He was the coach of Arizona. He stepped away, went and did television for a year, and then he was traded. I think it was at Tampa Bay, traded Arizona to be able to get his rights. You go back further, and it was the Raiders trading John Gruden to Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay gave up two first-round picks, two second-round picks, and I think from a cash consideration was $8 million. Now, you go back some years when that happened. I mean, that was 2001 or 2002 as far as picks that they gave up. But, I mean, that was two number one picks and two number two picks in cash considerations. Now, will the Saints be that aggressive and say, hey, look, Team X, if you want Coach Payton, this is the formula that we're using. We're not using maybe the Bruce Arians formula. I mean, because if you go back, Bruce Arians had not won a Super Bowl championship with a team, and I don't know how long he had on his current contract. I mean, because like we said, Coach Payton has 3 years left on his current contract. So from that aspect of it, the New Orleans Saints have leverage if it ever comes to that situation.
And I guess I'm just thinking about it from the business part of it and taking the emotion out of it. So I'm Mickey Loomis and I'm Miss Gail Benson. Sean Payton's not going to coach for us anyway. I got his rights. We have a good relationship in terms of friendship. So if Sean says, you know what, owner X is throwing so much money at me, if I'm Mickey Loomis and Mrs. Benson, I'm thinking I make that deal because he's not going to be coaching for us anyway. And if that's what Sean Payton wants to do and owner X is willing to meet whatever it is that we want, that would seem like it would be a win-win deal for everybody, right?
Yeah, but you have to take the friendship out of it. I mean, because are you doing business or are you doing friendship deals?
So you got to. No, but I'm saying if Sean asked for that, if he wanted to go coach somewhere, it was all I meant by that.
Okay, I mean, but at the end of the day, I still have to remove my friendship because I have to do what's best for your team. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't want to put him in a negative situation. Of course not in that situation. But if you're going to do a friendship deal or you're going to do a business deal, that's what you have to be able to remove.
Well, he would have to want to go in the first place, right? And the owner would have to be willing to put up that consideration. I guess what I'm asking, I don't know why the Saints, if another owner were interested and was willing to meet the price, why they wouldn't trade him.
No, I mean, but the Saints have to be able to set the parameters that they want in that trade. That's the question. I mean, and so right now we don't know what those figures, what those numbers would be. But the Saints would have to say, hey, look, this is what we feel like is fair compensation.
Do you think those talks are being held or not?
Today? No.
Yeah.
Will they be held today? No, I don't think they're being held. Will something like that come up over the next couple of weeks, couple of months? I'm pretty sure they will. Now, that doesn't mean that that's the direction that he goes in. In my honest opinion, I think that he goes and he does television. You look at the new streaming opportunities that are out there with Amazon. You hear the talk about Fox maybe losing Troy Aikman. I mean, he's primed for either calling a game as an analyst and or being able to work the desk as far as on some of the Sunday shows. He's going to get paid on either one of them. I mean, and so it's just what he wants to do as far as that next chapter for himself.
You did it in terms of broadcasting and going from a player to that. Talk, if you will, Deuce, about still being involved with the game, still prepping, still getting forward, looking forward to the weekends and so forth. But I would presume it's apples and oranges as opposed to getting ready to play or coach and compete in a game as opposed to calling it. But you're still involved, right?
You're still involved. That's the one thing that you miss. You miss the people. You miss the relationships. You miss going into the locker room, just talking to the guys. You miss that family. Now, by being able to broadcast it, you get a little bit of that, particularly when you're a weekend crew where you come in. Let's just say you see Friday's practice. You're able to talk to the players on Saturday, and then you broadcast the game on Sunday. One of the things that he will be able to get that maybe he hasn't gotten over the last 16 years of coaching is being able to talk to some of the coaches as far as game planning, being able to talk to some of the defensive coordinators, being able to talk to some of the players. I mean, and so normally you get that opportunity when you go to a Pro Bowl, but normally it's your staff that you have. But now if he's going into the broadcasting world, he will be able to pick the brains of some of the coaches that he is playing against. You know, hey, look, coach, I see that you guys do this on third down. You know, what's the thought process of that? So I think that will energize him in a sense, because now it's new ideas. It's new things that maybe I kind of missed, as far as, because I was so locked in with the New Orleans Saints, that this is something that I'm going to just file back. Or this is a young coach that I really like, and if the opportunity ever comes, maybe he's one that I consider for position X. So, I mean, that's what you get to do when you're on the media side. Like, I think that he will have an excellent opportunity of being able to achieve.
Wow, I'd not even thought about that, but that's huge. You get to pick brains at production meetings, and people will tell you things as a broadcaster that they wouldn't tell you as a coach, and then take them down a line and use them for your next job. That's outstanding. Deuce, we'll take a quick break. I want to talk to you about that first training camp, because the coach mentioned that yesterday, what it was like playing for him, your first impressions of him after playing for the previous coach, etc. Deuce McAllister is our guest. I don't have to tell you who he is. It's 9:20. I'm Tommy Tucker. We'll be back in a flash here on WWL. 9:25 now, talking to the great Deuce McAllister, nice enough to give us some of his time as we discuss Sean Payton's retirement. Deuce, you know, you played under Jim Haslett, then Jim Moore comes in, and the training camp in Jackson, from what everything I hear everybody say, was just brutal. Talk about all of that, if you will, and what was going on in your head, what the sense of the team was, et cetera, et cetera. Take us back, if you would. Put us there.
Yeah, well, I mean, for me personally, I could not have been more excited, because I'm from Mississippi. And the team that I played for was coming to Mississippi, was coming to my hometown, was coming to my city. And for all of the fans that may not have had the opportunity to come down to Thibodeau, I mean, because that's where we had training camp at that time, or even down to New Orleans to see training camp, they would get to see their favorite team, the New Orleans Saints, be able to practice. And if everyone remembers, we even played against Peyton Manning and the Indianapolis Colts up at the stadium in Jackson. And so, man, I could not be more excited. And so for me, I was excited, but I knew it was hot. And it was brutally hot. And one of the things that Coach Peyton had to kind of do was put his stamp on the team. And we saw a lot of that during the summer, which are organized OTAs, which are organized training activities as far as practices. But it got taken to a whole nother level when we went to training camp. And I'm going to tell you, if it rained, it rained after practice. Or if it rained before practice. And it was so hot. This was before the new CBA was put in place, where they kind of had to outlaw the two-a-days practice. I mean, you would literally practice 8 o'clock, 8:30 in the morning, and you would be back out there at 7 o'clock in the afternoon. And it was a turf field. It was hot. I remember it being so hot that if you had the rubber cleats on, it would melt them. Mm. I mean, and so walking up that hill, kind of thinking, I don't know if I really want to do this again, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, even a vet day, in a sense, he would have these bikes over there, and he would have it where you're not just cruising on the bikes. You are, it's like a Tour de France, in a sense, that the workouts on the bikes made you say, man, I can endure practice. I don't want this bike anymore. Wow. So he put his imprint on that team, and it really, really made you think, I don't know if I can continue to do this at this rate. And now it eased back, but he kind of knew what he had as far as players. And that's when we kind of named ourselves, particularly some of the linebackers, Scott Fujita, Scott Shanley. You became the Junction Boys. I mean, because every day you knew what you were going into, and it was not going to be pretty.
The idea behind that was to see who was committed and who was involved.
Well, I want to see who was committed, and I wanted to weed out some of the people that did not want to be committed to this team. I mean, because that was his first head coaching job. And, you know, for him, he wanted to be, hey, look, this is who we're going to be. We're going to be a tough football team. We will be a physical football team. And I got to make sure or see if I have physical football players. So if it takes me having practice 30 days straight in pads, that's what we did. That's what we did. And he kind of imprinted who he wanted to be as far as a head coach early on. And, you know, it definitely paid off for us that year by us going to the NFC Championship game. But the ultimate goal came 3 years later with the Super Bowl.
You know, one thing that stuck out to me yesterday was how he emphasized that he's a teacher, that's what coaches do, and how much pride he took when other people went on that he had taught to achieve success. I just want to ask you, what made him such a good coach that others that have tried it just don't get?
I would have to say, for me personally, I have been involved with three of the most brilliant offensive minds that an individual could ever want. Coach David Cutcliffe, who coached Eli Manning, Peyton Manning, was my head coach and my offensive coordinator up at Ole Miss. I also had Mike McCarthy as my offensive coordinator in New Orleans with Coach Haslett. And then to be able to transition to Coach Sean Payton as my head coach and my offensive coordinator, I have been tremendously blessed to understand and learn offensive football, but football in general. And you are a teacher. You are a relationship builder as a football coach. I mean, because I have to figure out what button to kind of touch for you to be able to understand. Some guys will be able to watch film and be able to learn stuff on a board. Some guys will have to repeat a play over and over. Some guys will visually be able to see it. But me as a coach, me as a teacher, I have to make sure that I can get that player to understand it. And that's what he talks. He talks about this vision for a player. That's what he kind of means. This is my vision for this player. This is what I think this guy can do. Now, can myself, can my coaches, can we get him to understand that? Can we get him to do that? And so that's what you are. If you're a football coach, I'm a motivator. I'm a father. I have to be able to be a good listener. I have to be able to teach. But it's one person. I have to be able to communicate, because if you can't do that, then at some point you're going to run into a brick wall where you can't function. But that's what you have to be when you're a football coach. And I think that's what Sean has been able to master. And I'll never forget just having a conversation where I knew the 06 Sean, but then you go back and you go to the 2015 Sean and just talking to him, how he's trying to still figure out how to change a little bit so he can reach a different generation of player, a younger player that instead of them being able to get the paper and write things down, it's via tablet, it's via iPad, it's being able to, hey, look, I'm going to give you a 5-minute phone break for XYZ because I see I'm losing you, just different things like that, so he still connects with his players.
What is it, adapt or die, right?
It's adapt or die. If you can't change with times, you're in trouble.
So what do you see happening, Deuce, in the future? New coach, Dennis Allen, talk about all of that. What are you optimistic about? What are you worried about?
I think the odds-on favorite would be a guy like Dennis Allen. He's in the building. He knows the people. He knows the team. He's been in the building for a while. I think he would be your odds-on favorite. I know that they are going to interview Aaron Glenn as well, you know, and there's a couple minority candidates that they kind of have to interview. I think, you know, Aaron Glenn would be one of those guys. Eric Bieniemy is probably one of those guys. You're talking about Flores is probably one of those guys. Chris Richard, who is your defensive back coach, is one of those guys. I think from that standpoint, Dennis, you know, is going to be a favorite. But I don't think the job is completely his. I mean, because Mickey Loomis would be doing himself a disservice if he doesn't go out and talk to other individuals to see exactly, kind of like Sean Payton. Hey, look, what's the fit for this person? Does he kind of work for what we want as far as an organization is concerned? And then he will go to Ms. Benson, he will go to Dennis Lauscher, and they will kind of say, hey, look, this is what we think. The other player that's involved or person is going to be Jeff Allen. I mean, I think Jeff will be involved in that situation, but it will be a team effort led by Mickey Loomis.
Deuce, a pleasure as always, man. I appreciate your time, and we'll talk to you again soon, all right?
All right, no problem. Thank you.
9:35, we take a look at traffic, then Dave Cohen's got some news about mobile betting that I think you're going to want to hear. Here's traffic on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.